This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll be celebrating Jean-Ferry Rebel's birthday, April 18th, 1666, with his La Fidèle violin sonata. La Fidèle means the faithful one, and it's La Fidèle, so it's a woman who's a faithful one. He doesn't really explain exactly what he means, but you can hear it in the piece a little bit. Now, today is going to be a little different than most days, because rather than talking about the piece or the composer, I wanted to talk more about the performers who are playing it. There's a movement in classical music that really picked up steam in the middle of the 20th century, still going very strong today. It's called historically informed performance. And the idea is that instruments and playing techniques have changed a lot over time, and that ends up affecting how people play older music. When you hear someone playing a Bach piece on the piano, for example, you're hearing an instrument that Bach never knew about. It was still about 100 years away from being invented. So you're hearing that music differently than how Bach originally wrote it and how he intended it to be heard on the instrument that he had in mind when he wrote it. Same with singing. The style of singing you think of when you think opera is not what Mozart heard when he was thinking opera and when he was writing his operas. As there are performers and ensembles who end up doing a lot of research. They get copies of instruments from hundreds of years ago, and then they try to decipher what techniques people back then might have used while playing. We don't have recordings of people from the 1600s, but we do have things like manuals on how to play instruments and treatises on music in general, contemporaries writing about performers and concerts and the different styles of performance. And then we also have the older instruments to guide us as to how the music might have sounded back when the composer first put pen to paper. It's not an exact science. You get a lot of fierce debates about the details, sometimes very, very small details that people get very worked up about. But it's an interesting exercise in what's essentially time travel. You're recreating a sound, trying to put people back in the day, hundreds of years ago, and get what people were enjoying then. Now, some people would argue that music is music. Things change. If the music still sounds good and it speaks to you on modern instruments with a different technique, so be it, whatever. But others argue that the original context of the music matters, that the instruments and the techniques that are used in a performance should reflect that time period that the music was written in. Now, personally, I can see both sides. I like the sound of historically informed performances, but I'm not really one to nitpick about what is or isn't exactly the original intention of the composer, since I'm sure Rebel won't mind if we do a couple things differently since, you know, he's been dead for about 300 years. The instruments you'll hear today are period instruments. They're faithful to what Rebel would have heard. The low cello-like instrument is actually called a viola da gamba, which looks a lot like a cello, only it's got six strings rather than four. They're tuned a little differently, and it's got frets like a guitar. The keyboard instrument is a harpsichord, which is one of the forerunners to our modern piano, but it sounds very different. It's a distinct sound. The violin is actually pretty much the same as our violins today. And in fact, if you've heard of a Stradivarius violin, it's the most prized violin. All the big-name recording artists and performers use it. They're worth millions of dollars. And they were actually made in Rebel's lifetime. But as I said before, the techniques for playing are different. Actually, things like the bow that they use and the strings that they put on the violin are different. So listen to the violin part and see if you can pick out some different sounds than what you might be used to hearing, even though the instrument itself is pretty much the same as what people are still using today. The sonata itself starts out with this slow, very dramatic introduction before moving into a brisk minor movement. And the viola da gamba, that low cello-like sound, echoes the violin's melodies. It's almost like it's following in its footsteps a few feet back. Now, there's another quick movement with that similar echoing pattern, but a different melody. And then the mood shifts into a slower tempo before ending again on this fast movement. This one is much more virtuosic. The violin is right in the middle, and the violinist's hands are in a constant motion in that finale. They're never resting for more than a beat while they're winding their way up and down the neck of the instrument. Here's an ensemble called Les Delices, live in concert at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. with Ravel's La Fidèle Violin Sonata. Thank you. Well, you can tell that Rebel was a master violinist, especially in that last bit. And he actually led a group called the 24 Violins, which was an ensemble of all violins in the court of King Louis XIV of France. And he was also the court composer. He conducted a few other ensembles, and King Louis must have really liked him a lot, and I can see why. Thanks to Les Delices and the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum for putting that up on the web. You can hear more on gardnermuseum.org, their great in-concert podcast series. And thank you for listening and downloading this podcast. If you have a chance, please go over to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever it is that you get it, and rate and review the podcast. It would really help out a lot. Thanks so much for doing that. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, you know that piece, very creepy sounding. I won't sing the whole thing, but you might recognize it. It's from Edvard Grieg's Peer Gynt Suite, and we'll be listening to the whole suite tomorrow. See you then.